The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Damon!
Dayman.
Fighter of the night, man. Champion of the...
Sun.
You're a master of karate.
And friendship for everyone.
A Dayman, that's it.
Dayman.
Fighter of the night, man. Champion of the sun. You're a master of karate and friendship for everyone.
Dayman.
Fighter of the night, man. Champion of the sun.
Hello!
Welcome to Size Corner, one of the many programs falling under the umbrella of Rick Barry's house. Hall of Famer Rick Barry and I started a little channel. We got a bunch of shows on there. This is my personal one. It's a great privilege, and I'm getting a kick out of this. My old buddy, I've known you since I was barely 17 years of age.
Wow, that's right.
John Zimmerman. You could follow him on Twitter because I made you get a Twitter account. You could.
That is true. I had to join the digital revolution, I suppose.
JohnZim406 is your Twitter account. So you can follow John Zimmerman on Twitter at JohnZim406. The 406 represents Montana, where you represent. Missoula, Montana. How the hell did you end up in Missoula, Montana? You and I went to Cal Poly Humboldt together. We practically destroyed our lives.
Well, hold on. When we went there, it was Humboldt State University.
Yeah, I'm going Cal Poly.
Yeah.
I'm going Cal Poly, man. Cal Poly Humboldt.
It's a Humboldt State in my mind, back when I was a student. I don't know what this new school is.
Dude, go with the Cal Poly. It's more prestigious. It adds cachet to your... to your academic history, man. You went to a Cal Polytechnic University. That's a good thing, I think.
I mean, people say that Missoula is kind of the Arcata of Montana. So, I mean, you know, the Humboldt State has enough cachet as it is.
For people that don't know what Arcata means, it's a town in far northern California, north of Eureka, and that's where Cal Poly Humboldt or Humboldt State is located. How did you end up in Missoula? What the hell took you from California to Missoula, Montana, dude? I love your town. I'm just curious how you ended up there.
So when I was leaving Humboldt, I had a choice to make where I wanted to go next. And my brother, my mom lived here. And my brother had just gotten out of the military and was living here going to school and had a place. And so I already had a place like set up for me to move into and came up here and went to school here. My daughter was born here, just kind of never left and been here 22 years now.
Oh, your daughter was – I didn't know that. Your daughter was born in Missoula?
Oh, yeah. She lived here until she was five. She comes back like every year, every other year. Yeah.
So Missoula – I love Missoula, man. It is the bluest city in Montana, right? So if you want to escape the redneck side of it, if you want to escape the Trump-supporting side of it, you go to Missoula. Fair?
True. But it's still got a heavy enough influence on that.
All right, so today we're gonna talk about two things. We're gonna talk about the Niners, a team you and I have been passionately following since we were kids. You went to every game until when?
I went to pretty much every home game from about 1983 to 90 to 95.
Damn.
My brother and I each got one game where we could take a friend a season. So I probably missed like one random game like every year, unless he wasn't into it when he got older, because he was more into military and cars and stuff, and I was into football. But so yeah, like a lot of games, a lot of playoff games. I was very, very blessed to live in and be privileged enough to go to those games, see Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, Roger Craig, Steve Young. I could just keep going. Ricky Waters, Bryant Young, like I could just go down the list, you know, Ken Norton Jr., Gary Plower, like all these guys. But it was just a great time.
Absolutely, man.
It made being in the woods for so long somewhat palatable, you know. You just had a different respect for being bad. You're like, well, we can be good again. Like, there's like, you know, Cleveland fans, it's like they don't know what it's like. Last time they were good was like the 50s. Like, they have no idea.
Well, let's get into that, because that is a funny subject, man. The worst sports franchises ever, because the Browns are certainly up there. But look, you and I, because I host another show called Locked On Warriors, and in the postseason,
great show,
brother, thank you. I nailed every prediction for each playoff round except for the NBA Finals. I was off by one game, but I attribute that to Gary Payton II missing Game One. But a huge reason, and I don't tell people this that often, but a huge reason I think why I'm so prescient with like the way I call the Warriors is because you and I grew up on one of the greatest dynasties ever. The San Francisco 49ers,
true.
Eddie DeBartolo, and so we saw the model for how to build the most successful sports franchise you could possibly build. If Eddie D was still in charge, that would not have ended. That would have still been going today. Well, in your opinion, what were the variables that led to Eddie D creating this just magnificent, artistic organization, man? Like, I miss it. I miss it so much, dude.
Well, I mean, the smartest thing he did was he hired Bill Walsh. I mean, that was so much of it came from Walsh down, just the structural organization, the attention to detail, his ability to just, I mean, back then a lot of coaches, you know, they were good and they watched a lot of tape, but him and especially Parcells too, at kind of the same time, they figured out like we can zoom in on like just one part of this offense or defense. If we beat them there, it causes everything else to win for us. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now coaches, they spend, you know, 30 hours a day doing this stuff, if that's possible. And back then it was kind of like, you know, not everyone did it as much. And he was just in the restructure of the organization. He gave, anybody who had a good idea got a chance.
That's incredible.
There's a reason why, like, there was so many more minority coaches that, like, came from his coaching trees than many other coaches, and why it was so successful. And that, you know, goes down to the players. Then, you know, you have how DeBartolo treated the players. Even if they lost, he took the team and all their families on a vacation to Hawaii, which was unheard of at the time. They didn't do that, and he did it. And so those guys on those teams, they love him, and they'll always love him. And I mean, it showed. And you know, Walsh was with his team too. He was just such a great drafter, and he saw things that I don't think other people saw. So you know,
did he draft Montana?
I
can't remember if he did.
I want to say he did. He had one season without him, and then he drafted him.
Who was his GM? Was it Carmen Policy, or was it
Later, but they had some other guys earlier. I'm trying to think some names, but I'm drawing a blank. It's just not coming to me.
That's right. So weed and the drugs and the alcohol. It's okay. That's normal.
We're getting old.
You know.
But yeah, just you know, like he was just it was a good organization all the way down, and now like, I mean, you still have poorly run NFL teams and teams that make bad decisions.
Yes.
But it's like fantasy football. We all know the stats. We all know the information. It's more like what's your feeling on a guy? And I feel like the NFL, like I'm looking at Denver and they said, oh, we're just a quarterback away from, you know, being a Super Bowl contender. But they hire this coach who in two games has proven he is completely Nathaniel Hackett. Okay, sounds like a Civil War general. Like
you stole that from somebody. Someone else said that first, though.
It's possible. I might have heard it, but I heard someone say it like, yesterday. He needs to just go with Nate or something else. You know, like just go with Nate, bro. But he might have the worst two-game debut of any coach in NFL history.
He expects people to call him Nathaniel, like that's what he goes by.
Yes, that's his name.
Hey, that's douchey. All right. That's weird. That is weird.
But you saw in game one.
Yes.
They paid Russell Wilson all that money. They traded all these picks for him, and you don't trust him to get a 4th-and-5. Why is he there? What's the point? What's the point of getting Russ Wilson if you're not going to trust him with the ball in his hands a minute, 3 timeouts, a 4th-and-5? I just don't. That to me, that's mind blowing. And then second, this last weekend, you have Russ Wilson. You have two possibly all pro like running backs. You have a 3rd-and-1, and you're going to run a tight end fake run. Like you're not as smart as you think you are.
Correct.
It's like just use your talent. And
Rick Barry and I go off all the time on the fact that most sports teams are not, they're run by incompetent people.
Yeah.
Who hire incompetent coaches. Mm-hmm. And it's just nepotism, I think, mostly. And I think it's nepotism and just fragile egos. Like oftentimes they want to hire yes men who won't like disagree with them. Where it's like Eddie D, you're right. Like you said, man, he listened to everyone. He was open-minded. You talk about Bill Walsh being the reason for Eddie D's success, but dude, look, Bill Walsh left in 1989.
Sure.
They won 2 more Super Bowls with George Seifert, sure, who was Bill Walsh's guy. But
and a roster largely, I mean, built by Bill Walsh, at least the second
one. Yeah, fair.
I mean, that was pretty much like, I think any coach could have won a Super Bowl in 89.
Fair. No, you're
they beat the
right.
Broncos 55-10 that year, 14-2. Like they were, no one was stopping them.
Dude, they beat the Rams.
The Rams came to town. And
we were afraid. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe you were, but most
slightly, because they were one of our losses that season.
Because that was Chris Everett's team was legit, man. I mean, they had like Henry Eller.
Chris Everett.
What's up?
Chris Everett.
Chris Everett. Yeah, their quarterback.
Jim Everett.
Jim Everett,
Rome.
Don't mess around. So, doing a Jim Rome stick there.
I got it.
But they were a legit team. And then what did the Niners do? They just thumped them 30-3.
Well, no. Hold on. Because that game could have gone very easily a different way. It was 3-0 Rams. And Everett had, I want to say it was Henry Ellard down the right side. It was either him or Flipper Anderson, like the wide open. And Ronnie Lott just came from nowhere, from center field, and like literally reached out and just got like his fingers on the ball to tip it and knock it away. And if he caught that ball, it was a touchdown. It was 10-0. Who knows? But Ronnie Lott was there, and the final score was 30-3.
And he was wide open, dude. Ronnie Lott came out of nowhere. Ronnie Lott is still disrespected today, man. When people talk about the all-time greatest defensive players, I don't think there's any dispute. To me, there's no argument. He was the greatest free safety ever. He started his career as a quarterback. So he had the coverage skills, but then his toughness.
Didn't he make the All-Pro? He made the Pro Bowl as a cornerback his rookie season.
There you go.
Yeah.
The man cut off a part of what, his pinky in 85 in the playoffs to keep playing.
Yeah.
So my point is when I talk about the Warriors, like I look at the Niners and how they did things. And that is a model for success, man. Like Eddie D, at the same time, he did not let emotion dictate his decisions often, because if he did, Joe Montana would have retired as a 49er. But they said, we love you, Joe, but, dude, we got Steve Young here, man. We got to give him a shot. Yep. Ronnie Lott, they let go before he was done playing.
Roger Craig got let go.
Roger Craig can kiss my ass, but I'll never forget those two fumbles, man. People forget he fumbled it not once, but twice in that 1990 NFC Championship game, that final drive.
I almost completely blocked it out, you know? I was so close just forgetting about it, and you just brought it all rushing back to me, man.
I know. Well Roger Craig, man. I mean, I have mixed emotions about Roger, dude, because you're right.
All right. Respect that.
In 88, he was absolutely – I mean, I think he was the first player ever to have 1,000 yards rushing and receiving. But that dude, two fumbles. I mean, you fumble in the same drive. Anyways, my point is, dude, Eddie D represented everything in terms of how a sports owner should be, and it led to greatness. They still would have been great. Unfortunately, Eddie D became a riverboat gambler, got in trouble. Who did blame the most for that, by the way? Do you blame his sister? Do you blame the brother-in-law? Like, who's the number one enemy here in terms of stealing the team away from Eddie and not giving it back?
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. I think Eddie just was being Eddie. Thought it was a good deal. Wanted to make some money, you know? He's, like, into it. He trusted the people he was talking to. He's a trusting guy.
He is. He's a nice guy. You know?
And someone tells him it's a good way to make money. It's possible.
I want to be a riverboat gambler. I still don't judge him for that. I don't judge him for that.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, but you're absolutely right. The Warriors have built such a great structural organization where they just – everyone's treated right. They're honest with who they are. Like, you know, a lot of sports franchises say they embrace diversity or all this stuff. And, you know, you can look at, like, Phoenix and say, I know for a fact you guys don't. You know what I mean? But it's like you look at the Warriors and you're like – I don't know. I don't work there. I don't go behind the scenes, but it seems like that is an environment where that's absolutely true. And I think that fosters such a, you know, and you have great players too. You have to have the players, but they have to be put in a position to succeed. And the Warriors do that.
Do you, it's really crazy. The former president gave DiBartolo a presidential pardon. How did you feel about that?
I mean, hadn't he already paid his fine and served his like time?
It was just
like erased his name off the book.
It was just that's all that was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm loath to like congratulate that guy on anything he did at all in his 4 years, but
he's a traitor, man. The dude was a traitor.
I'm loath to call him a guy.
but let me ask you this: when DiBartolo back in 1998, again, this is a corruption case focused on the former governor of Louisiana, this guy named Edwin Edwards, and DiBartolo again, who was gonna like he was part of this like riverboat gambling scheme, which in hindsight, again, was that really much of a crime? You know, I don't know.
Like I watched Ozark.
Yeah,
I mean I don't know what else is involved. It could be layers. There could be other people behind the scenes. I'm just saying. I don't know, man. I'm not up on like riverboat crime.
I hear you, man. I hear you. But he was fined $1 million because he testified. Eddie D being the amazingly genuine.
This was in like what year was this?
1998. And so this
was so $1 million back then is worth like
two or three, maybe five now. Yeah. Yeah. But Eddie D being the amazing human being he is, he testified, you know, because he's the phenomenal Samaritan, good Samaritan that he is. He gets $1 million fine. He gets 2 years of probation. And he was barred from active control of the Niners for a year.
Right.
So when this happened, the whole insinuation was, all right, after a year, Eddie D's sister, Denise, who took over the team, was going to give it back to him.
Right.
She doesn't.
Right.
And it's all been downhill since.
Yeah.
So like, who do you blame more, man? Denise?
Oh yeah.
Or the husband?
I mean, he should have gotten himself in that position to begin with.
True.
And so, you know, we all have to take responsibility for our actions. So, you know, he put himself there. So that's one. Like you can't shirk your responsibility, your duties, whatever. But yeah, she's trash. I'm not a fan of Denise. Sorry, I should not say she's trash. That's insulting.
Why?
Okay, she's trash. I know, but that's just a ruthless word, man.
Is it?
I don't want people going after her just because I think she's a trashy human being. You know? And I know how sometimes the power of these things. So, you know, I just want to, you know, say, like, I just disagree with the decision she's made in life.
You can always blame the husband, too.
No, yeah, Jed. Wait,
is that his name?
Was no, it the dad's name is something else, something York or whatever. But
Dr. York.
Yeah. The Duke of York or whatever. I don't know. He's
I think he had his doctorate in anthropology. I think that's what he majored in.
Oh my god.
So you call him a doctor.
So he like went to rich person school, like go entertain yourself for 4 years. Which one of the blues is he? He's
Job. He's Job.
No, not Job. He's the younger brother.
The youngest one?
Gosh, I've
Who's Oscar's kid?
He loses his hand.
I forgot his name though.
Oh my god! How can we're failing right now as people? Oh my god!
But
yeah, it's like him. They send him off to like cartography school. Like, go get your doctorate. Nobody cares.
What is his name? I gotta look that up real quick. It's a Bluth kid. I'm just gonna Google Bluth kids to find the name.
I'm looking it up myself now. Yeah, you're right. We can't really move on.
It's Buster.
That's correct. Tony Hale. Buster Blue.
So Denise DiBartolo's husband, we can call him Buster. That's fair. John York was his name, by the way.
John York, that's right.
Oh, and I guess actually I'm insulting him a little bit because according to Wikipedia, at least, he is an American cancer research pathologist. Oh, so I guess he's a real doctor. Okay, I take that back.
Okay, so I'll take back what I said too. Yeah, you save kids and stuff.
But it doesn't change the fact that Denise just stole the team from her brother, man. What kind of sister does that? Who does that, man?
I think Dr. York probably had some hands in that too. I don't think she was making all the decisions. So I'm saying, I think, you know, and maybe their son was being ambitious at the time too, because he essentially became the owner. I mean, they gift wrapped it for him. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you know, were you in the Bay Area when Lamont and Tinelli had their morning radio show?
With who?
Lamont and Tinelli?
No, but I was, but this is the funny part, and I told you this last time we talked or saw each other. Tinelli was my freshman football coach. One of my three freshman football coach with Coach Quarterman. Quarterman?
We're at
SI? I can't remember the third guy. Yeah, St. Ignatius.
Hey, you're SI alum.
Yeah.
And so Paul Tinelli told, like, him and I used to talk shop all the time about the Niners. He's now the PA announcer. So if you go to Levi Stadium, the voice over the speaker saying third down and all that stuff, that's Paul Tinelli now. He got
Does
that
he
job
still have that amazing hair?
He did have amazing hair. He has no hair now.
Oh, okay, because it was gorgeous, man. It was like feathered, like this Italian mullet. Oh, my God, it was gorgeous.
I've seen pictures. It's just gone, dude. The Tinelli gene, that gene just does not sustain hair. But Tinelli said something interesting to me many years ago. He said that the wrong brother took over the team, and that the brother that most closely resembled Eddie in terms of personality, in terms of just character vibe, was Jed's younger brother, who passed away sadly.
Yeah, that's right. That's terrible. I mean,
it's terrible.
It's just one of those what ifs.
It is.
You know, if he had been the owner, would the team had a different, like, you know? Because I mean, we were bad from. I'd say we had one playoff appearance between 99 and 2011, something like that.
Yeah, that was a horrible stretch, dude.
I mean, then we went back under Harbaugh a couple of years, three straight NFC Championship games, one Super Bowl, and then we were back in the woods again. We had a homeless coach, Jim Tomsula. God, didn't we hire
Ron Jeremy?
Didn't we have Chip Kelly for a minute there?
We had Chip Kelly for a minute. Dennis Erickson was the Super
Bowl. Oh, God. It's like this. It just hurts my soul.
Dude, Dennis Erickson, those 2 years with Dennis Erickson, I think they went 2-14 both those years.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Dennis Erickson was an alcoholic. Like, he was always drunk. I don't know if people know this. I don't care saying this now. He's been gone away from the team for so long. He had booze in his drawers. I think he had a kegerator in his office. He was always drunk. Always.
That's hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious,
those are some horrible years, man.
Oh, so we were bad. We were just really bad. Like, the quarterbacks we started those years probably could have started on the Browns and no other team.
The only QB I remember that was just the worst of them, or rather, I remember, was Ken Dorsey. He was awful, dude. Like,
he's now the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills.
Is he really?
He is, and they are the best offense in the NFL by far. Well, it helps if you have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs who can just do whatever they want to anybody.
Maybe he's a good coach, but he was an awful quarterback. He did win a Heisman, I think.
Heisman?
I think Ken Dorsey did, man. Yeah,
that is such a lame award.
It is it's overrated. That's for sure.
You know, rarely get the person who it's like, yeah, he was the best person. Like, eye test, I can see it. He's the best person. They never get that.
They give it to like
some 40-year-old Oklahoma quarterback win the Heisman 1 year.
I don't know, but the younger brother of Jed was Tony. It was Tony York. Rest in peace. And you're right. It's one of those great what ifs. But. My point is, dude, Jed York sucks. The DeBartolo family, who isn't Eddie, sucks. And the Niners are where they are now because of this. They have not had a franchise quarterback since Steve Young. And they've been trying. God damn it, man.
If our team had been better, I think Alex Smith could have been a franchise quarterback.
You think so, huh?
If our team had been better.
He's Joe average, though. I don't think he ever would have been like a.
But look what happened when he was surrounded with a good team. He was successful.
Lost the Giants.
But then he went to Kansas City and he was surrounded to a good team and he was successful.
To a degree. They never won a Super Bowl.
I'm just saying, like, you know, he was like, maybe not a franchise quarterback, but he's a guy you can have and like cheap out on and like spend more on other positions like offensive line and defense and wide receiver and running back and not expect him to do everything. But when what he does, you got like a good 60-70% chance he'll do it. Maybe.
Yeah.
You but know, I think
it's been too long, man. 1998. We're now in 2022. 24 years since they've had a franchise quarterback. And in today's game, that's what you need. You're right. I mean, maybe like at a certain point in recent history, the game manager type like an Alex Smith could have been enough. And maybe you could get one Super Bowl out of that. But in today's game, if you want to have a sustained run of success, you got to have a Patrick Mahomes. You got to have an Aaron Rodgers.
To be honest, hold on a second here before we jump the gun. To be honest, I mean, we still can't say whether or not Trey Lance is good or bad.
True.
We just don't know.
But that leads to now, which is what happened 2 days ago. We're recording this on, what is it, Tuesday, September 20th.
It's Tuesday. He had surgery yesterday. Oh. He had 3 broken bones, but it wasn't considered a compound fracture, so it'll heal better than Dak Prescott's
and did. Torn ligaments.
Yeah. But he's not coming back this year at all. It's Jimmy G's team unless we trade for somebody or get some, who would we pick up? I can't think of
nobody. It's Jimmy G's team. It's Jimmy G's
team. Jimmy G's team the rest of the year. If he gets hurt, we're probably in trouble.
Done.
The only thing is our defense is really, really, really good.
Except for the secondary. You think the secondary?
So we didn't have Tre'Davious Ward the first game. And the only reason we lost that game is because there was a 10-minute window in the monsoon where Chicago had 2 broken play touchdowns.
Yeah.
They had that 150-yarder where Justin Fields ran around and the defensive line couldn't get their footing. Like, once you were on the ground in that game, you weren't getting up in any reasonable time. And so, like, he can run around for 10 seconds. He's going to find a guy wide open. And that's the only – I mean, I don't – that game should just be thrown out in what we thought of, like, what we thought. It was not – indicative of stuff, and the defense still held them pretty well.
It was the Bears,
and then we just kicked the living bejesus out of the Seahawks this weekend, which always warms my heart.
I didn't realize until this Sunday's game that the Niners had lost 17 out of 20 to the Seahawks. Yeah,
they've owned us.
God, yeah. And my point is, an Eddie D team would never let any team own the 49ers. But let's talk. Okay, look, we're in reality. We got to live in reality here, right? Eddie D's long gone. So we've given the history lesson in the once great franchise. My whole point about that was that when I talk about the Warriors and their current dynasty, I draw a lot of parallels between the two. I think Joe Lacob is much more business centric than Eddie D was. Eddie D was quoted as saying, "Quote: I tried to run the 49ers like a family rather than a business. I viewed the players and myself really basically as a partnership. Our goal was to win the Super Bowl every year, and we had to do that together," unquote. I love that. That's just pragmatic, right? I mean, he looked at his players as human beings. He saw it as a partnership. I do not see that from John York, Dr. York, or Denise, or any of them.
Didn't they screw over the city of Santa Clara over some, like, kids' soccer fields?
I think so. It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, come on. Like, that's just like, why would you do? Like, yeah, screw your kid's soccer game.
Dude, Denise, what are you doing, man? What are you doing, Denise? So,
I don't know.
So the team has like, has a front office right now. I think John Lynch is okay. I'm not going to hate on him. You like him, right?
I think he's a good GM. I mean, like, he's brought in the right talent for what Kyle Shanahan wants. He's given him all the toys he needs to play with. And he's drafted well to some extent. We've missed on a couple. But he's been really good in like the second and third round finding guys. We have a great – the team's built well. We just need a good quarterback.
Yes. But traded 3 first-round picks to get Trey Lance.
And we still, after 2 years, we've seen him in 4 games?
Which is a problem. And especially when you consider the fact that he didn't play in 2021. His final year in college, he played, 1 game? His rookie year, he barely played. Now this is his second year. He's done for the year. So in 3 years, he's played virtually nothing. That's a problem, man. So he has not gained experience when he needed it. But, dude, Kyle Shanahan, he's done, right? I mean, are we on the same page here? Like, he has to go? Are you going to give him another chance? Because look,
let's see how he handles this season. Let's give him this season, you know?
But it's because of him that Trey Lance is out for the year. Why would he do that? He called Three of the first 15 plays in the game, he called QB draws, power running plays.
I mean, watched Jalen Hurts run a lot last night, man.
Were they runs up the middle with no other running backs?
There's a couple of them, yeah. His first touchdown, he straight up made a dude miss and ran straight up the middle.
Well, I'll counter this by saying Jalen Hurts does not have the value that Trey Lance does. And the Eagles, again, Jalen Hurts is not a franchise QB either. I'm hoping Trey Lance is. But my ultimate thing is,
I think Jalen Hurts is. I watched him. He's on my fantasy team, all right? I'm going to tell you. He looks a lot better this year. I know I'm biased, but
a franchise QB. He's got to prove himself to be a franchise QB. He's got to win playoff games. But sure.
They were supposed to make it last year.
But have you ever seen a team win the Super Bowl with a QB that you rely on for running plays? Not a mobile QB who can make plays if the pocket collapses, but a QB where like run plays are called for him. Have you ever seen a team win a Super Bowl like that?
Oh, I mean, like probably not since like Fran Tarkenton. Oh, he never won. Nope.
And I don't know if running plays were called for him either. He was actually a great pocket passer. So,
right, but he ran a lot.
He did run a lot, yeah. But he was like Steve Youngish. Like they both were like just fantastic athletes.
Because Fran Tarkenton had like equal number touchdowns passing and interceptions, and Steve Young had like much better like touchdown. Steve Young was a way better passer than Fran Tarkenton ever was. Of course, that was a different era, and they just ran Chuck Knox up the middle or whatever his name was. Chuck Foreman. That was the fullback's name. This guy was getting like 20, 25 carries a game for like a good 90 yards and two touchdowns. You're like,
Steve Young, top 10 QB all time, right?
I mean, I like to think so, but I mean, I would say he's probably the number one left-handed quarterback of all time, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, easily. But I think he's
top 10. Does that put him in the top 10 all time?
I heard someone do a ranking recently of the top 10 greatest QBs ever, and Steve Young slipped in there at 10. And I was like, yeah, that makes total sense.
I mean, I can see it.
I can see it, yeah.
We're in such a golden era, golden age, like whatever you want to call it, of quarterback play. Like we just get this gorgeous quarter. We've had it for years too. I mean, I'm not a Philip Rivers fan, but look at his stats, you know, like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Manning, like there's all these quarterbacks. Like now we got Mahomes and Herbert. I mean, I don't want to put Russ in that discussion because, you know.
It's early. Let's give him time, right?
Russ is just – I just don't really like him. He's just not
– Because he beat the Niners 17 out of 20 times? Is that why?
Because he just seems like such a corny, fake guy.
He used to be genuine. You're right. He married the what's her – Ciara?
I don't think he ever was genuine, man.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, Russell the love muscle, regardless, I think he might figure it out. I'm not ready to cast judgment on him. But if you're gonna win in this game, you can't have a QB that you're calling QB draws.
I mean, you go with what your strength is. That's what they thought they could do. It didn't work out. It's like we can get mad now. We can get on Kyle and just be like, "Hey, Shanny, fix. You know, you're dumb." But
yes,
you know, it's like how long?
What else? Keep going. You're done. He's dumb.
I'm just saying we got Denver next Sunday night, a chance to like exact some more revenge on the Seattle Russell Wilson connection. You know, back to back weeks, we get a little revenge on that like faction of people, Seattle and Russ Wilson, because we're playing Denver Sunday night. I hope we just go in there and kick the living crap out of them.
I hope so too. Absolutely.
Yeah. Denver does not look good.
Denver looks awful. They have the worst coach.
They have all these talent, but now they lost Cortland or they lost Tim Patrick in the offseason, in the preseason, and then they just lost Judy yesterday with separated cartilage or fractured cartilage, which is the same injury Justin Herbert got on Thursday night, which I guess is when the cartilage like separates from the muscle, like its cartilage like separates from your bone.
Jesus.
But that just doesn't sound good. Like that would lay me up for like a year. I'd be like, oh, dude, just kill me. I'm done. But these guys are like, just give me a shot. I'll get back out there and throw the football around. They're inhuman. But I don't know how to do it.
If the Niners don't win the game Sunday in Denver, like your judgment of Shanahan plummets, right? I mean, they got to win that game. They got to win that
game.
Yeah,
we should win that game. We should beat them. Yeah.
They should have beat the Bears too. I still can't believe they lost that game.
Yeah, it's the NFL. Weird things happen. Kyle, it took a hurricane.
But Kyle Shanahan's got to go, man. The only argument against it that I could stomach is, who are you going to bring in instead? Because you're right, there are plenty of Nathaniel.
Well, there's one option out there, but he's not available till next year.
Who? Sean Payton?
Yeah. But I mean, what's that dumb coach in Dallas? His name, McCarthy.
McCarthy?
Oh God, he always is like looking up at the Jumbotron, like he's trying to like read something in a foreign language that he doesn't know. And he's like, "What? What does that mean? I'm not sure what's going on." He's that just vacant, like dead look in his eyes. He's making it so easy for Jerry Jones to just pull the Brinks truck up to Sean Payton's house and be like, "You're our coach next year.
You're up." You're absolutely right. You're up.
And I mean, they got to move on from Dak, I think, but that's just me. he's broken.
But yeah, I mean, 28-3, dude. Here's the thing about Kyle Shanahan that is my biggest critique of him. He does not make halftime adjustments, man. The team never gets better in the second half. It's just
sometimes it doesn't feel like it. You're right.
Yeah, but you're right. If it's not Sean Payton, who the hell are you going to replace him with? This is just a crappy position to be in, man. I like John Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh. Did you like Jim Harbaugh when he was the coach?
No.
But you like Colin Kaepernick.
He said he doesn't like his football players to eat chicken because it's a scared animal.
I heard that. That's weird.
He only wears the same like type of khakis all the time. He like power chugs milk. He said if any players on his team had like got an unwanted pregnancy, he wouldn't allow an abortion because him and his wife would adopt the child.
Yeah,
like, no, that. Dude, he's like, no, I'm not. He's a jerk.
Because he doesn't let his players eat chicken.
Yeah. Chicken's great, man. You ever had chicken wings? You ever had fried chicken?
Fair. Until I heard his reasoning for it, I'd never heard that. And then, yeah. And if people that are unfamiliar with the story, Jim Harbaugh does not like his players eating chicken because chickens are cowardly, anxiety-ridden animals.
Yeah, they're scared animals.
And he doesn't want that energy, the protein, to be transferred from this chicken shit animal, no pun intended, to the players. And I never thought of that before. It's weird. You're right. It's weird. It's absolutely weird.
It's great protein, too. It's so much leaner than, like, red meat. Like, you'd want your players eating chicken. You're literally taking away an advantage your players might have. Like, it just – I don't know.
But Colin Kaepernick exists because of him, right? I mean, you can't disagree with that.
Oh, my God. He was forced into playing Colin Kaepernick.
But Colin Kaepernick was good because of Jim Harbaugh. So
also, he had a great team around him. That team that went to the Super Bowl against Baltimore was stacked at every single position. Like, every position on the field. I didn't feel that good about a team since, like, the 94 team who beat the Chargers. Where it was just, like, every position was stacked.
Oh, I'm still super bitter to this day that of all the teams the Niners had to play in the Super Bowl, it was Jim's older brother. Like any other team. Here's my philosophy on siblings when it comes to competition. The older sibling always wins. I know you got an older brother. Would you ever want to play him in anything?
Yeah, well, the first time I got bigger than him and he tried to push me around and I actually pinned him and was still on top of him, he decided we were done doing that game. But then he joined the military, so now we just don't do that at all because he'd probably, like, accidentally kill me or something. I don't know. Like, snap my neck. Who knows?
He's a bit of a psychopath. Fair? Can I say that?
My brother? No, I would not say that.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was a kid. He had a lot of PTSD issues he was dealing with at a lot of times. And he took, I don't want to be, like, pocket psychologist here, but, like, I think he took a lot more of the emotional brunt of my parents' divorce than I did. And that affected him a lot harder, and he acted out in different ways.
I just remember you telling me stories about your older brother when we were younger, about what he would do when you two were kids. I'm not going to share those stories, but
now you're making it sound all creepy and weird. Like, he was just a big older brother. He would, like, shoot me with his paintball gun from, like, 3 feet away. Like,
that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, but just leave a bruise. It didn't, like, break the skin or anything. It just hurt. But that's what, like, older brothers do, right? Like, I don't think I'm feeling wrong. Like, older brothers are, like, built to, like, torture younger brothers.
Yes, and that goes to my point. Of all the teams the Niners had to play in that Super Bowl, they would have beaten anyone
else. Yeah, but Harbaugh – the Niners, Harbaugh, whichever one, I don't care. Whatever. The non-chicken eater, he choked at the end.
Who, John?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he choked at the very end.
They just have to throw it four times, dude. What?
Wait, no, that's Jim, right? John's
Jim's the older brother. John's the older brother.
Yeah, John's the Baltimore coach.
Correct. And they Jim have choked. To. And the Niners
Jim choked just, at the end.
And they just had to throw have four passing plays from 5 yards right. out. Do you remember that first play? Do you remember that first play, that bootleg that they the refs canceled, like they blew the whistle or something?
Touchdown.
It would have been a touchdown.
Why not?
Would have been Super Bowl champions in 2011. God damn it, man.
And we probably if we win that, we probably win the next year.
Yes.
Yeah.
That pisses me off so much.
No, I mean, no, I don't care for him.
All right, let's do a segment here. Here's a soundbite.
Makes no damn sense.
What doesn't make damn sense to you about sports or in life?
Oh, man, so much.
You want to start?
You go ahead. You go ahead. Take the ball. Get the ball rolling.
I'll start with an easy one. I did this with a medical expert yesterday on Locked On Warriors, and I'll repeat the same one here. The Memphis Grizzlies make no damn sense. The Vancouver Grizzlies made sense. It should be the Memphis Blues. It could be the Memphis Beats. There are no grizzly bears in Memphis. There are no grizzly bears in Tennessee. Makes no damn sense. Don't call them the Grizzlies.
Your turn. Do you want to go through like half of the NBA's team names?
That's not half.
Utah Jazz?
I know.
There's no Jazz in Utah.
LA Lakers? Yeah.
There's LA Lakers?
But that's it. There's only a few, but yes.
I mean, do you run into a lot of Bulls in Chicago?
Yeah, but they were always in Chicago. I mean, that was always their team, you know? I mean,
no, I know, but it was also a big meatpacking hub.
Oh, well, yeah, well, yeah. Well, cows are not geographic centric. You know, you could have cows anywhere.
I understand that. I'm just making a point.
Okay, so what to you makes no damn sense?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, and I said something about this earlier, is the Portland Trailblazers were absolute garbage last year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they did lose Dame, but I mean, I don't even know why he agreed to this. But the point is here. Let's go back to this. They hired a guy who had only 1 year previous coaching experience, Chauncey Billups, as an assistant. Right. He also had a disturbing 1997 assault allegation that really we don't know the whole story. I guess he's been cleared of it, but like,
what do we know about that? I don't even know.
You know, it's kind of shady. I don't know all the details, and I. Whatever, they never really the Trailblazers never really addressed it, and okay. They even like when it was brought up at like his initial press conference, they basically said, "Hey, we already talked about that. Moving on, next question." And then they brought like the next guy tried to kind of sneak the same question in by going, "You know, given the assault allegations, was Dame Lillard like involved in this?" And the guy's like, "You know, pretty much, oh, we already answered that. Let's move on."
Yeah.
Well, the thing was that there was a lot of conversation that the Trailblazers would be the first team to hire a female coach. And the two leading candidates for that were Dawn Staley, who returned, I believe she returned to South Carolina to be the head coach, and Becky Hammon, who left the Spurs and she became the coaches of the Las Vegas Aces, excuse me, of the WNBA. Well, so Portland didn't hire them. They went with a guy who's credibly accused of assault. They had one of the worst seasons in their career. And Dawn Staley won a national title at South Carolina. She took down the Nets. And then she was there, I believe, today to support her former player, Aja Wilson, for winning a finals MVP as the Las Vegas Aces beat, I want to say, the Connecticut Sun. Okay. That might not be the right team name, but to win the WNBA title coached by Becky Hammon. So literally the two other options other than the guy credibly accused of assault won titles and they had their worst season ever. But, and you know, I said this doesn't make sense to me. The Trailblazers have a history of this and we can go all the way back to the time they picked this guy, Sam Bowie, over this unheralded draft pick, Michael Jordan. Or that time they thought Greg Oden was going to be the centerpiece of their future over who's this guy, Kevin Durant? I heard he's pretty good too. So I mean, it's just like it makes no sense. But at the same time, I guess it kind of does make sense. I just wanted to point out their pure stupidity.
Well, the Billups thing in 1997. Here it is: sexual assault allegation. I'll read this off Wikipedia, so take it for what it's worth. In 1997, Billups and fellow former Celtic Ron Mercer. Were accused of sexually assaulting a woman at the home of teammate Antoine Walker. According to a civil suit, Billups, Mercer, and Walker's roommate Michael Irvin no relation to the former Cowboys receiver, assaulted the woman at Walker's condo after leaving a Boston comedy club. A medical examination the following day revealed injuries consistent with the victim's testimony. No criminal charges were filed. I wonder why. But Billups and Mercer settled the civil suit in 2000. The team investigated this allegation and concluded it did not disqualify him from taking the role. Here's what I'll say. I'm not a big fan of college coaches going straight to the NBA. So the South Carolina coach, I already forgot her name. I'm really sorry. No disrespect.
Dawn Staley.
Thank you. She's a great coach. I don't doubt that. But straight from college to pros, Becky Hammond, I agree. I think she's earned an opportunity to coach in the NBA.
Absolutely.
She clearly has a very brilliant mind. The fact that just year one, she led the team in the WME to the title. I'm with you, dude. It'll probably happen.
She spent 8 years as an assistant under Greg Popovich with the San Antonio Spurs. So there can't be that stupid, like, sexist, misogynistic belief that, oh, she can't handle men. Like, oh, these big, strong men are going to push her around. I mean, that shit's all bullshit to begin with, and no one should ever believe that. But she can check that off the list, even with that stupid attitude, because she spent 8 years like coaching men. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Spurs were, they were an okay team. It's not like Popovich isn't just like one of the greatest coaches of all time. Like, come on.
Right. No, I'm with you. And again, the WNBA and the women's side of basketball has their own professional league. It's not like she would come into this being unfamiliar with the game or with the atmosphere. No, I agree. I'm totally with you, man. I think she deserves it. So that's what makes no damn sense. He was a Portland Trailblazers, not hiring.
I mean, yeah, I guess we'll go with that.
And we'll do a new one.
I have another thing that doesn't make any sense to me.
Please, hold on.
Makes no damn sense.
See, the production value there is incredible.
Are you excited for the sequel?
Excited is a strong word, but yeah, sure.
I mean,
the first one wasn't like
this. This is a little side note. Does it feel like there's just not as many good movies anymore?
Hell yeah. Yes. There's hardly any good movies anymore.
Even if you include the streaming content, because obviously the way the whole game's played has changed with the COVID and everything else. So no movies are going straight to streaming. We're not, you know, I've been to a theater once in the last 3 years. I still don't trust people.
Same.
I think like the average human is slightly incompetent. So that means most people I'm encountering are just either dumb or really dumb. Okay, but back to what doesn't make sense. Sidetrack there.
What movie did you watch?
Last Night in Soho. Is that what it was called?
I don't know.
It was the one by, I can't remember his name, but Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But of all the movies to go see in the theater, you went and saw that?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I don't know why. It was a Sunday. It was playing at the Roxy, which is like 3 blocks from my work. And I was like, you know what? I'm just feeling it right now. It was a great fall day. I was like, I'm just going to go watch this movie. And then, Okay, here's what makes no sense.
Okay.
You know the Good and Plenty candy? It's like the candy-coated licorice.
Yes.
Comes in like pastel white and pink. That's garbage. That's candy for like people from the 1920s who didn't know what candy was, like before we knew how to like figure out sugar. But Good and Fruities. Now, Good and Fruities are delicious. They stopped making them like 3 years ago. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That doesn't make any sense. You're absolutely right. The whole candy bar scene doesn't make sense to me. It's really weird. Like, are whatchamacallits still out there? Like, actually, like,
I was actually just in the candy aisle the other night because I was craving an 100 grand after I had had a couple of beers watching some football. Yeah. And they do have whatchamacallits. I could not find a strawberry Charleston chew, which greatly disturbed me because those things are great. Freeze them, eat them like normal. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
You
want to talk about some of these other NFL games this last weekend? We had some good games.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. We can just talk about, like, I mean, we saw the Jets won a game.
Joe Flacco won a game, dude.
They were down 13 with less than 2 minutes, I think.
That was the first time in like 20 years that's happened, I think. It was the Jets are okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But do you think if they win next week and then Zach Wilson's healthy the week after that, do they keep starting Falco?
QB controversy. Yes.
Who would have thought there would be a QB controversy in 2022 with Joe Flacco?
Yeah, you keep starting.
Unless it was like a CFL team or something.
Let me ask you this. Did the 49ers blow it by not bringing in Tom Brady? I say yes. How do you not bring – you had Tom Brady wanting to play for you, and you chose Jimmy Garoppolo. You're okay with that? I'm not. I'm incensed.
I just hate dwelling on things I can't change, man. I'm already bitter enough at the world. I don't need more of it, you know. I gotta try and keep the soul pure.
God damn it. You got to make all sense when I'm just trying to go off on a rant here.
Well, no, okay, I know. Right, you can definitely rant about this. If we had Tom Brady, I don't think he'd be happy with Kyle Shanahan because it would be so run heavy. He'd want to pass more. And then he'd probably start audibling out, doing some like TB12 plays, like straight from his trainer. Like, here's a play I wrote up. Ah, sweet. Let's run this. Kyle's like, what's going on?
That's what would happen, though, don't you think? I mean, Brady would just be like, okay, sure, yeah, Kyle, sure, whatever.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to run it like a power trap for the 13th straight time. Because they did that in that championship game against Green Bay where they threw the ball like four times. It was something ridiculous like that. Like, Tom Brady would not, like – I mean, he'd be like, yeah, we can win the game this way, but then I don't get the glory, so, like, what's the point? You know?
Oh, my God. Let's end on a note that's non-sports related. You and I are both men in our 40s. So attractive.
That is true.
Just saying that alone is so attractive. Not really. But how is single life in Montana for you, man? How is that world looking for you?
I mean, I've had my hits and misses.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not bad. There is definitely in Missoula, there's a good dating scene, it seems like.
But are they not all college girls? I mean, are they
no,
actually?
No, there's people who live here who are out of college. I mean, it's a nice town. It's a nice community. Yeah, I mean, it's just a good city. But the dating scene's fine. There's, you know, it's like downtown. Downtown's not very big. It's like
it's awesome. I love downtown.
Yeah, it's like eight. It's like five blocks by like three blocks. And within that four blocks, there's like 12 bars, like 10 restaurants, you know, it's kind of it's jam packed. And like, there's like a VFW, there's a Union Bar, like we have an Old Post, which is another.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, it's great. It's good times.
I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want even more Californians moving there and driving up real estate prices. But it's awesome, dude. No, you found a great home. So you're saying the bachelor scene in Missoula is okay for you? Like you're better off there than you would be, say, here in the Bay Area?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I have good luck either way. I mean, it's still me, right? I mean, I'm still the package, right?
I'm like, here, man.
Yeah. Same so here, I mean, man. I don't know if there's any place it'll work. I just think I'm lucky in love. So.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Well, I guess we got the Warriors coming up. That's good. The Warriors have their media day this Sunday. Okay. I believe it's September 25th. I'm gonna be there. I'm excited for it. We got to find the good things to look forward to. This is why I'm so pissed at the Niners, because I always thought growing up, no matter what, I'd at least have that to look forward to. And it's been 24 goddamn years with it just.
All right. Counterpoint to that argument.
Okay.
Like, there's only like 4 or 5 NFL teams that have 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks in their history.
Like back to back.
Period. Yeah, in history. Dallas has 2.
Who's Staubach and Aikman?
Yep.
Okay.
Green Bay has 3. They got Bart Starr, Favre, and soon to be Rodgers.
Yeah.
Niners have Montana. I mean, technically, you could say we have Tittle, Montana, and Young, but I'm not going that far back.
Brody's not a Hall of Famer?
Who?
Brody, John Brody.
Oh, if he might be. I don't know. He disappointed me so many times. I wasn't even alive, and I was disappointed.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, to have, like how many other teams? Like, okay, the Giants, I guess If Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer, then they have 2. Because okay. Is Phil Simms a Hall of Famer?
I don't know, actually. John Brody, by the way, is not a Hall of Famer.
So. Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's really, 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 really hard to have – the Patriots only have 1. Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Buffalo has Jim Kelly.
I respect the NFL for being selective with their Hall of Fame. They actually
No. I'm not just saying. I'm just saying it's really hard to have, like, the Chargers will have two because they'll have Fouts and Rivers.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, you could say Breeze started his career there, but the Saints only have Breeze. So what my point is like, it's just so hard to have that many Hall of Fame quarterbacks in your history, right? So few teams have them. The Browns, I don't think, have one.
That's fair, man.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to talk about that. Let's end on that note. But you're right. I hear what you're saying. But that happened so freaking long ago. We just have to, like, that's all. So we got two of them. So we just have to live the rest of our lives. Like, with
no. We were lucky. We had back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. We got five titles out of it. We got multiple NFC Championship games, NFC West titles. You can look at Green Bay. They had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for 30 years. And they got two rings out of it.
Long ago, though, man.
Two rings out of it. That's all they got. 30 straight years of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers gave you two rings.
What are, in your opinion, what are the worst sports franchises on the planet? The Browns are in there in the mix, right?
Well, right now, I think Sarver only owned the Suns.
He's a piece of shit, but yeah.
Is the Suns the only – he doesn't own, like, the
– No, WNBA and the team? WNBA team. He owns the Mercury or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so he owns both of them. Well, yeah. That guy, he – him. Okay.
Well, the Suns have never won a title, so you could mention them.
Yeah.
They never have.
I just think it's what they say. It's been going on for 18 years.
18 years what? What do you mean?
The Robert Sarver. Like, he's just been mistreating employees. Like, this has been going on for, like, 18 years now. Like, I'm sorry. If you allow that to go on for 18 years, like, you're just a trash organization. Like, that's just that.
Well, listen.
Like, there's some organizations that have, like, gotten better. Like, Cleveland, I would have put the Cavaliers in that until they got LeBron.
Right. But the Cavaliers have had some good runs, man.
You have to remember in the 80s, like, there was a rule made that you couldn't trade back-to-back first-round picks because of their GM. It's called the Stepien rule.
He was
their GM, and he was just trading first-round picks like they were burning holes in his pockets.
Right, but the owner was signing off on all that. But I hear what you said. But I'm talking in terms of the parameters of worst sports franchises. Let's limit it to its impact on the fan bases. So, like, in terms of tortured fan bases, who are the worst teams? Like,
well, in the NFL, I mean, I would say that there's, like, four, but I don't think they're, like, bad organizations. So those four most tortured fan bases to me would be, like, the Lions, the Browns, the Bills, yes, and the Vikings.
What about the Chargers?
No one's interested in the Chargers. It's San Diego and Los Angeles, man. They got better things to do. That's why, like, no one cares about the Rams. The Rams won the Super Bowl, no one cares. It's because they live in L.A. They have fucking lives outside of, like, you know, they don't live in, like, Philadelphia where it's just grimy and dirty and just, like, a horrible city. And, like, all the people are, like, the characters on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, everyone's miserable. They're throwing batteries at Santa Claus. Like, no one wants to do that. They want to go watch sports and just be miserable at a bar. And, like, in Southern California, you're like, oh, the Rams are playing? It's a Sunday? Yeah, I'm going to the beach. You know, like, no one cares.
I think the Lions, I think, take the top for sure.
I mean, there is the thing that, like, the Bills and the Vikings, like, they've been so close.
That's worse to me. I think that hurts more.
Because the Bills lost four straight. The Vikings have lost four, but they've lost, like, some gut-crushing, like, NFC Championship games.
You're right. You're absolutely right, man. The Bengals are 0-3 in Super Bowls.
Yes.
They've suffered. I've got another one, by the way.
Makes no damn sense.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
You got to remember, they went to the AFC Championship game their second year.
1996, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a really good run there with Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor. Receivers were great.
Jimmy Smith and someone else.
Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell.
Yes. You're right, but that was, again, 26 years ago. So
yeah.
The city of Jacksonville, why do you have a team?
I agree. I don't even know why that's a city. Just make it like a shipping center. Just make it a gigantic court.
Jacksonville, man. Like, why of all the cities do they have
Maybe
a team?
Maybe if we sacrifice Jacksonville to the ocean, it'll stop rising.
And their owner is, like, literally a Ron Jeremy clone. I mean, we talked
about Shad Khan.
Shad Khan. We're talking about Jim Tomsula as being a Ron Jeremy, the homeless bum. No, Shad Khan, he's a character, man. That dude.
He could like literally afford to have you killed with like 1 minute of work. Probably be less than that. Probably be like 10 seconds of work for him. Probably have me killed too. Should watch out who you're talking about, you know?
Jeez. All right. We pushed an hour here. I think we did good.
All right.
Anything else? Are we done?
No, I'm just happy to be on here, man. Glad you had me on. It's been a blast, you know? We got to do this again soon.
And again, John Zimmerman, my friend.
That's me.
He's from Bay Area. Native San Rafael, right? Is that what you called home?
I was born in San Francisco at Children's Hospital.
Okay.
Made my way to San Rafael. That's where I grew up. Moved around Marin, Novato. Went back to San Rafael, and then up here in Missoula, Montana. It's at John Zim 406. That's JOHN. Here's my little joke. You know, it's like I'm like the Baptist. I'm usually discombobulated. Everyone loves Bible jokes. They go over so well.
But again, you're an SI alum. You're actually a legitimately good lacrosse player.
I was all right.
You're good.
I played 2 years in college.
You play for the Cal Poly Humboldt Lumberjacks.
Yes.
That's awesome.
My jersey says Humboldt State, but that's besides the point.
Do you talk to anyone else from the lacrosse team? I remember there was like some guy named Skyler or Sky or something.
No, I don't talk to Sky. Unfortunately, do you remember Will? Yavorsky?
Yes. Yeah,
He died of cancer, unfortunately. Rip Will. Yeah.
Was he the guy that took my jersey because I stopped showing up to practices and stuff? And probably. There was a shortage of jerseys, and like he came to our house and was like, I need your jersey, man. Do you remember that?
Probably.
Was that Will? I think it was.
Might have been. I don't remember.
That's really sad, dude.
Well, we made some rough choices back then.
What about the coach? Has anyone heard from him in 25 years?
No, I haven't. No, not at all.
Do you remember that guy? I mean, you obviously.
I still have his playbook. A little short, fat, kind of balding. And then we had the one assistant coach who actually gave me my first fake ID.
Did he really?
So it was funny. He gave me a fake ID and it looked literally exactly like me, but it expired. So he gave me another because he kept losing them and then finding them. So he'd go get a new one and then pay like because you just get them like candy, I guess. So he had like all these IDs. So he gave me one that wasn't expired, but it didn't really look like me. So this was my ploy. I would go up to the bouncer and I'd show him the expired one. He'd look at the picture and be like, oh, that's him. And be like, oh, wait, this is expired. And then I'd hand him the other one. He's already seen the picture. So he just looks to make sure it's not expired and all the data matches, let me in. And so it worked for, you know, until I turned 21.
That's incredible. And this was an Arcata. Well, what were the bars down there you go to? It was
Sidelines.
Toby and Jax was one of them, right?
Toby and Jax, Sidelines, Dell's. Oh, I remember Dell was in his 80s when we were there in the 90s. And I went in on my actual 21st birthday. And I'd been going there for about a year now. And he took a look at my ID and he said, I'm going to give you a beer and a shot. And then I'm kicking you out for a month because you lied to me.
Oh!
And I said, okay, I accept that. And he said, come back in a month and we'll really sit down. Cause he liked me. He thought I was a cool guy, but I was lying about my name and age basically. So
here's the trade, man. That shows he cares.
That was a great experience.
That shows Good he times. Cares, dude. We were terrorists in that town. We owned Arcata, California for
I don't know about years. That. We had a good time. Let's just say that.
We own that place, dude. Was there anyone else who reigned over that entire city for those 2 years? Like,
there was the two other fraternities. There was Chi Phi, and who was the other one?
Teeks, TKE.
Oh God, I hated those guys.
Yeah, the Teeks. I like Billy Gonzalez, and I almost got in a full brawl with the entire fraternity because one girl, Amber, came to us and was like, "I got they treated me bad, or they assaulted me, or she said something." And Billy and I are all drunk. We're like, let's go. And we went right to their house, man.
Yeah,
It's incredible they didn't kill us. It's incredible they didn't just those pummel us.
They were our rival. And then Chi Phi was like the other fraternity that neither of us cared about unless we wanted to have a party at their house because we couldn't have parties at our house, remember? Yes. So we had to do it at their house. And I just remember one night, me and James Connell, your old roommate, he had his long jacket on. and he had decided he was stealing a strobe light from Kai Fi, and it fell out of his jacket. And he looked at the guy at the door, literally just picked it up, put it in his nose, like, night, and walked away. Like, they were like, oh, you brought girls to our house for a party, so we're cool with that. Were you there when we did that? We actually sold tickets to the party?
Oh, my God. We should just save a show for all the bad things we did without incriminating us. Incriminating information.
Absolutely.
We should do that. Stories from Hubble.
Stories from Hubble. So you didn't get Bababa on here.
We could.
Yeah.
And have them do Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonations.
Oh my God. That killed me.
Those killed me. I literally.
Yeah.
You know what sucks though? Like some years later, I brought him on when I was at KNBR. I brought him on my surfing show I did on the weekends, the extreme scene. And it was not as funny. I don't know what happened. It lost. Either we were really stoned, and it was funnier.
Well, it's because back in the day when we knew him, like, wasn't he a virgin?
Yes.
He like couldn't get a girl to like give him, and they all wanted to be his best friend. All of them wanted to like hang on him and take pictures on him and like be his best friend. But then when it came time to like, and he always said that he's like, they all want me to be my cuddly bear. But then like when I want to cuddle, they don't want to be there. And I'm like, yeah, bro, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
He was literally the stereotype of a friend zone, man. Like you're right. I don't know who he lost the virginity to though. I forgot that. Do you remember?
Well, he was basically like an unfunny Jonah Hill and like super bad.
Oh my God. If you're seeing this, Rob, you're the winner here. Okay, I'm childless.
Yeah, you're doing way better than me, man.
You got two kids now. You got a family. Congratulations, yeah. Rob. Love you. Yeah, don't worry. You won.
Yeah,
you got to get back on. You're right. I'll reach out to him. Why not? Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Okay. We'll do that soon, so we can hear Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold.
All right. I think we're good. Right? Are we done?
Yeah.
All right, till next time. Thank you, John. Again, you can follow John Zimmerman at JohnZim406. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
All right, it's memorized now. You can follow me, Cyrus Sotsis, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow, and this program on Twitter at SciCornerPod or Rick Barry's House. That's what this whole program is part of. One of these days, John, you'll meet the Hall of Famer, man. He's amazing. He's good people.
I'd love to. Love to.
Bye, everyone.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.